heart, your firstborn, for me to worship. And I want you to not put them to work, and I don't want you to shear your sheep. And the idea, I was thinking about when we give gifts, a lot of time we give gifts of something we want to have. And have you ever been tempted to test out the gift that you were giving? You're like, they're not going to notice. I'm going to use this myself. You know, but when you give a gift and your heart is to give it, you're going to give all of it. The temptation is to use it first. In fact, when you use it, sometimes you decide you don't want to keep it. I had that happen when I first bought our Mustang several years ago. My son wanted a nice car to take to the prom in high school, and he knew I had a friend who had a car lot. And so I went and got this Mustang, and we arranged a deal where I would use it and temporarily buy it and decide if I wanted to continue the process. And so my son took this nice car to prom. Cool, right? I would have liked to have a Mustang to take to prom. Well, he brought it back after that date and the fun evening that he had, and I, of course, decided I would drive it for a week. And after driving it for a week, I decided I did not want to return it. I said, this is way too fun. This is way too cool. Let's make a deal. And we ended up having it for several years. Lots of fun. But when God asks us to set apart, to save something, to put aside something for special use, He wants it all for Him. It's interesting. The flaws, to be spotless, to be without, to be not lame or blind or some kind of defect. You know, I just think about, you know, if you look at every person, you don't realize it, but did you know your face is not symmetrical? There's imperfections. And so is there really perfect? And so Moses adds a serious flaw, and they add to, you know, in Leviticus and Exodus, where it expounds on the requirements. It's obvious that there's things that are less than, that, you know, whether it's a limp or it's got a missing ear or deformed, that it wasn't to be given to God. But God is generous. He's like, you know what, this is not a waste. He says, you still, why don't you take that firstborn? It's not good enough for my sacrifice, but I want you to enjoy it. And so he says, take it to your towns. Enjoy it. Enjoy what you have, I've given you, the firstborn of your flocks, those clean things. And he says, everybody gets to enjoy it. You don't have to be spiritually perfect. In fact, you may be unclean. In those days, it's having touched something dead made you unclean to come and enjoy those things. But don't bring something defective. I just think about, isn't giving up, isn't dedicating every firstborn ewe or calf kind of counterintuitive? I mean, really, you're trying to grow your crop. Grow your herd. Why would you go and give away your future? Well, those things you can hang on and wait till the end and then see what's left over. True worship doesn't keep what belongs to God. When Israel sets aside their first and their best, they're saying, we wouldn't have anything unless God gave it to us. You know, it's a paradigm shift. It's an understanding that we think of things upside down to say, wait a minute, why am I hanging on to this? I wouldn't even have this if it didn't come from God. When do God's people begin to take His blessings for granted? When we lose sight of where those blessings come from. When we lose sight that God's given us those things to use for His glory. When we start to take those blessings as our right, I say, God, you owe me. I love you, and I go to church, and I try to discipline my kids, and I love my wife. So, God, you owe me blessings. That's when we get messed up, when we start to take God's blessings for granted it kind of goes south really quick. It's one of those crazy kingdom realities. When you give what God has blessed you with, He invites you to come and enjoy it with Him. If you look at the laws, when they take that firstborn, they were required to go to Jerusalem, the place, they don't know what it is here in Deuteronomy, but we know that as Jerusalem, they're said, when you come to the place that God will show you to worship, you get to come there and enjoy it with your family, your household, the Levites, all the marginalized, the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner. Everybody gets to enjoy. It's like, wait a minute, I thought we gave that to you. It's one of those kingdom realities. We think that if we hang on to it, we get to keep it. But God's kingdom reality is that when we give it away, He gives it to us to enjoy and invites us to enjoy them. I love this reality from Revelation 19:9 as He talks about the wedding supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. In heaven, when we give our worship to Him, when we give our hearts to Him, God invites us to enjoy the wedding supper, enjoy all those blessings, all that worship that we give to Him. Let's go on in Deuteronomy 16. Moses instructs Israel on three different festivals, three different pilgrimages, three different times that they're required to go to this place that God is going to show them, where they are to celebrate. Moses' heart for his congregation is really to stay true. It's not about the what, right? It's about the why. He wants them to understand. So he doesn't go into all the details that you'll find in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. He doesn't go into all detail. He kind of highlights some things, but his idea, he wants to keep their heart true. He wants them to worship God for who He is. And these three festivals, we'll start with the first one in Deuteronomy 16, and we're not going to read all of this one, but observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Aviv He brought you out of Egypt by night. True worship celebrates God's gift of mercy. The first festival that Moses talks about here is the Passover. And it celebrated Aviv. You guys know what month that is? I didn't know what month that was. I know because of Easter. It's March, April. It's when he said this needs to be celebrated. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating their exodus from Egypt. It was unique. It was the 10th and final plague. But he said that every firstborn animal, every firstborn son is going to die. And we found out a few weeks ago is because God owns the firstborn. He has the right to it. What's unique about it is the firstborn, there's clean and an unclean. God owns the firstborn that are clean. The firstborn of the unclean have to be redeemed. I'm unclean. Jesus, the Lamb, died to redeem me, so I didn't have to die. The Passover is a wonderful picture of the gospel. As they sacrificed that lamb, as they slaughtered it, and they took the blood, and as you know, they put it above their doorposts and on the sides. The angel of death passed over their homes. Not one of their flock, firstborn of their flock, not one of their firstborn of their sons, died. And so he says, I want you to remember. And as I say, true worship says, I celebrate, God, your mercy on me. If it wasn't for God's mercy, I would not be here today. Because, and some of you guys will say, Miss, I am not qualified to be up here. There's only one person who qualifies me, and that's Jesus Christ. You can say that if you talk trash to yourself in your head about what you're qualified for, that's when you say, you know what, Jesus qualified me. Satan, what you're saying isn't going to stick. You may say and point out my flaws, you may point out my regrets, but I always answer and says, you know what, that's why Jesus had to die. That's why the perfect lamb had to cover me. He had to die for me because he qualifies me. He's the one who covers me. God wants Israel to remember and celebrate the provision of his mercy when he protected them from death. None of that roasted meat was to be left to mourning. Every single bit of it was to be used. And what wasn't eaten was burnt up. The smell, the fat that would go up to heaven as a precious offering to the Lord. It's interesting, this meal was to be eaten with unleavened bread. You guys ever like eating unleavened bread? I personally think it's terrible. I like my bread. And you can probably tell I like my bread a little too much. You know, we make this olive, I know I talk food too much, but we make olive oil with garlic in it and spices in it and red pepper, and then you take the bread and you dip it in it. Sorry, was it lunchtime yet? But those things, unleavened bread, you don't dip in olive oil. You eat it. But the reason why, if you go back to Egypt, is because they were in a hurry. He says, hurry up. Eat this dinner in haste. Keep your travel clothes on. Eat it quickly. Eat it because we got to get out of here. Yeast in the New Testament talks about being equated with sin. Right? A little tiny bit of yeast goes a long way. And so he says, I don't want any yeast. I think about, you know, yeah, eat the bread, you know, you're in a hurry, but it's more than that. As you look at the gospel, it's like anything that doesn't belong to God, anything impure, slows us down. In fact, the danger of that they wouldn't even make it out of town quick enough. If they sat there and waited, put yeast in it, waited for it to rise, everybody's packed up and down the trail, they might have had to ride behind the Egyptian army. And you think about sin. If we don't get rid of sin, it's going to mess you up. It's going to keep you someplace where you don't belong. It's going to keep you someplace that's going to be damaging to you. This Passover, where we get not only covered by God's grace, covered by his mercy, we eat with unleavened bread. We eat the bread of life, right? That's the ultimate bread without sin. Jesus said, come to me. I am the bread of life. We get to celebrate the God who provided the lamb to redeem the unclean. The second festival that Moses addresses is the festival of weeks. Look at Deuteronomy 16. We'll pick it up at verse 9. Count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. Verse 11, and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. True worship celebrates God's gift of fruitfulness. Since it takes place 7 weeks after the first harvest of wheat, it's been called the Festival of Weeks. Pretty profound, huh? It's like 7 weeks, let's just call it Festival of Weeks because it occurs 7 weeks after. It's also referred to as the Festival of Harvest or the Day of First Fruits. For obvious reasons, right? The first fruits of your crops in an agricultural economy, it's really serious. They didn't have a Safeway or a Walmart to go down to. My celebration for my fruitfulness from my garden wouldn't be very big. And I'm thankful that I have a grocery store to go in because I cannot survive on what my garden produces. The details of these festivals, like I said, are in other places of the Torah, of the Pentateuch, in the first few books of the Bible. And Moses highlights this festival with words like free will and rejoice. You know, true worship celebrates God's gift of faithfulness, and that response to that gift, he says, is to be spontaneous. You know, it's not like the tithe that we talked about a few last time. It's where the 10%, this is how much you need to bring. It's a free will. It's like, if you've been blessed a lot, you bring a lot. If you've been blessed a little, you bring a little. That it wants to be something that's you're just thinking, what can we afford? I love when we do offerings for special projects. I'll think, you know, having a mountain in my head. And I love when I talk to Jackie about it. And sometimes we're just spot on. And sometimes one of us has a bigger mount in mind. And we almost always go with the bigger mount. Because there's a free will. There's a thinking into it. And there's a rejoicing in it. And you can't rejoice in giving unless you understand where it comes from. Until you and I understand where it comes from, you're going to be cranky about it. You're going to be stingy about it. You're going to not do it consistently. True worship celebrates God's gift of fruitfulness. Rejoice and bring what your heart wants to give. Rejoice with your family. Rejoice with your household. Rejoice with the Levites. Rejoice with your whole town. This is not an exclusive celebration. It's like, hey, you guys aren't included. Everybody's included. It's like, we get to rejoice together. You bring it together. I just talked about our sandwich Sunday. We get to come and celebrate together. And I'm just, you know, just I'm thinking about it. It's like, we may not have the Festival of Weeks, but we have the Festival of Sandwich Sunday. Where we get to come and bring some amazing sandwich and say, bring what God's gifted you with. Bring, and we get to come and enjoy it all together. It doesn't matter if you're a PBJ, you know, and you got one sandwich cut in quarters, or whether you're extravagant in the amazing passed down recipe for egg salad or some other kind of amazing combination of flavors. We get to come and bring. It's like, what should I bring to this? What kind of thing would be a reflection of how God's blessed me? What kind of thing can I bring that would represent God's goodness? What kind of thing would represent the fruitfulness that God has given to me? The third festival is the Festival of Tabernacles, or people also call it the Festival of Booths. Let's read with me in Deuteronomy 16 again. Pick it up from verse 13. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days celebrate the festival of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all your work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. True worship celebrates God's gift of complete satisfaction. What a cool God we serve. That he says, I want you to have a 7-day party. Not just a 1-day party, a 7-day party. What a cool God that he invites us to celebrate and invite the whole town to come and enjoy. This festival takes place in late September, mid-October, like you'd think, for a harvest. In fact, some people think it's a harvest festival, but it's really not. This is a celebration. In fact, it's even called in Exodus, called the Festival of Ingathering. And the idea behind that is that you're going to celebrate when you gather all the wheat that you've harvested and you've turned it into wheat. Not just the hard grains, but it's been threshed on the threshing floor as the wheel has been driven around by the ox over and over. And you gather it all in and you fill up your barn. Just like I love driving down Highway 34 and seeing those big heaps of grass seed. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, man, isn't it going to start sprouting, you know, if you don't get that in? It's like they don't have room. They're still processing and bagging it. But in gathering, it's a celebration of that wheat that's been threshed and ready to go. And it's a celebration of the wine the grapes that have been crushed into grape juice, and it hasn't been fermented yet. And so as they look at their cellars, as they look at their pantries, they're just packed full. Some of you guys do. I know Pat and Forrest are amazing with their tomatoes. For years they would do their tomatoes, and some of you I know can things, and I've got to enjoy some of the fruit of your labor. Whether it's jam, whatever, and you label of the year, and it tastes so good, and whether it's tomato juice or something else that you make, it is amazing. But there's something satisfying when we celebrate what God's gift of completion, that they look at all the work that God brought the rain, that they were able to harvest it, that they were able to bring it up barns, they were able to put it into something that they could be settled in for the winter. There's something really cool about knowing that your pantry is full, knowing that the meals are taken care of, to be able to say, wow, what God promised, we put the seed down in faith, right? Because it says we scatter the seed and God brings the fruitfulness from it, brings the product from that. That there's a time we get to celebrate the completion of that. I think this festival, the celebration of harvest, festival of tabernacle, and they called it that because they were required to live in these temporary shelters during this festival. It's like the super camp out. In fact, I know down in Brownsville in September, first September, that Labor Day weekend, Memorial weekend, excuse me, there is a celebration, Festival of Tabernacle. And I know some of you have gone to that before to celebrate what God is doing, his ingathering. I think the ultimate picture is fascinating. And you look in the history when we see the culmination of all that God has provided, that we have all we need, and that God has been so, so good. We see at this time of the Festival of Tabernacle, guess what happened at that time? King Solomon dedicated the temple. Think about it, all this plans. We're right here in Deuteronomy. We're on the east side of the Jordan, waiting, looking forward to all this. Not only God has revealed that Jerusalem is that place, David wants to build a house and he gets a plan, but he says, David, you're not the guy to do it. He says, your son is going to do it. All those hundreds of years, all through those judges, that God has raised a righteous king to a fruition, to kind of completion, an ingathering, a celebration at that time when Solomon dedicated the temple and God's Shekinah glory came down and filled the place. It's like, it just gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. God's completion of what he promised. Another time, it's fascinating to see in the New Testament, during the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus is in the middle of the courtyard at this festival, and he shouts out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." The completion of what God has done. We get to celebrate God's gift of complete satisfaction. Jesus is that. It's amazing that he said, I'm the fulfillment. If anyone is thirsty, what? Come to me. Anybody's hungry, I'll give them satisfaction. What are the requirements that Moses highlights? Celebrate for 7 days. It's not a command, but an invitation. Everyone is included. And you have to tell kids, you got to have fun. Be joyful. Isn't that cool? God wants us to enjoy him, to have fun. All that God has blessed us with has been done with this end, with an end in mind. It is finished. Who said that? Jesus said that on the cross when he died. It is finished. You have everything you need. We celebrate you, God. We worship you for your gift of complete satisfaction. Let's go on with this last few verses. Verse 16. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. As we talk about true worship is defined by God alone. It's defined on his terms. Just he says, this is worship. This isn't worship, what you think you want to give. God says, I want this from you. God gets to define what true worship is. True worship is done in community. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you think about all those festivals that they required that they be celebrated in community. They be not be celebrated on your own, but what you had, you invited other people to join in with you, because it's a picture of who God is. Can you imagine where we'd be if God kept his Son and his Holy Spirit to himself? We wouldn't have hope. We wouldn't have transformed lives that God brings. True worship is driven by gratitude. When you think about what is we come and worship God, that to come and recognize these things that I've highlighted, that I believe that these festivals highlight, not getting stuck in the detail of it, but the why behind the what. What we celebrate about who God is, it's driven by gratitude. God, I am so thankful that you saved me. Woo! You know, we talk about death over the grave. Woo! When we talk about God's my provider. Woo! When we talk about everything that God's a future and a hope have that depends on him, not on me. Amen. Woo! We shout. And it's that flow of gratitude that I come here. Sometimes I'm feeling kind of dry in the morning. I'm like, oh man, you know, maybe I didn't sleep. Ironically, I woke up. I was up from like 2 to 4:30 last night in the morning, not in the day. And I just couldn't sleep. I don't know what the deal is. And I start out by just praying. Say, what is going on? And then my brain starts going. And I know what I'm talking about sometimes. It's like sometimes you wake up for a minute and you go right back to sleep. I couldn't go back to sleep. And I say, okay, Lord. And as I come here this morning, I said, you know what? You're my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I know I'm not going to be tired today. I know I'm old, but I'm not going to be tired today. I come in and as I worship, God reminds me, as my heart is thankful, it changes my attitude. It changes my priorities. It changes what I get discouraged about. It changes what I get hopeful for. To worship involves lavish offering of resources and self. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of what? God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As we think about those things that driven by allowing God to define what worship is, because even if we follow that, God, it aligns our spirit to his. Worshiping God in community as we realize that, you know what? I'm not the only one who's got issues. I'm not the only one that needs saved. It's like we all get saved together. We all get to celebrate together. I get to worship God with gratitude. And out of that flows, it's like, you know what, God? I was like, man, I'm making like a six-decker sandwich, man. I'm bringing, you know, the five, what is it, In-N-Out. You can get the 12th patty one. I think they quit doing that because of people were having heart attacks right in their store. You know, but those things, like, what is it? What could be lavish? You know, I just think about, you know, just my morning. It just affirms me, because sometimes the word affirms what you're already doing right. Right? It says, keep doing this. You're doing the right thing. And other times it's like, this needs to be made right. And so either those are offerings of ourself that we respond in all these things, and we will experience true worship. True worship. Will you commit yourself with me to true worship? I love the Word of God. That if you look at it long enough, if you study even the crazy stuff, it's like, you know, really, there's a lame animal, and you know, there's grain offerings and all these festivals. Really, there's three annual festivals that God could, that happen, you know, in March, April, and 7 weeks after the first harvest, which is June, and then September, October, to kind of remind us. That's why I have to come to church every week, because it reminds me. It's like, I need to be straightened out. I don't know about you. Can you guys last longer than a week that you need straightened out? I can't last about a day sometimes. Okay, a couple hours maybe. Well, I need straightened out. Will you stand with me? We're going to worship. I think we're going to sing The Way. Maybe. Waymaker, sorry, thank you. Close. The Feast of Tabernacles starts tonight. God didn't, that's amazing. I did not know that. That just blows me away. That we'd have this message for today. The Feast of Tabernacles. The complete gift of complete satisfaction. Let's sing. Let's worship. Let's be true worshipers.